Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Welcome to No Compromise Radio Ministry. My name is Mike Abendroth, and we are here for Hebrews chapter 11, part 2. We're also on Facebook Live. By the way, if you're just listening to the show regularly through your podcast, some kind of pod catcher, if you go to the Facebook No Compromise Radio, I think there's a special group or something like that. You just have to ask to be in. And as long as you're not too jerky, we let you in. And then you can watch these. I don't know why anybody would want to watch these. I have my Master's University sweatshirt on. My daughters go there. And I think I got this when I spoke at chapel. Did John 3 at chapel, I think, a year and a half ago. And they gave me a really nice polo golf shirt. But I'm not into polo and I'm not into golf. And so I went in and I asked if I could exchange the nice polo shirt for something of equal or lesser value. And they said I could go over to the hoodie section. I said, okay, fine. Thank you. No, I was happy to get a sweatshirt because it's pretty cold out. I think it's like 25 today or something like that. Anyway, we're talking about Hebrews 11. Before I forget, we are going, Lord willing, to Israel with Omaha Bible Church and Pastor Pat Abendroth in February, I like the 18th or something, for 9 days, 2021. Not in 2020, but 2021, in the year 2929, if man is still alive. And then there's an extension to Rome that we're playing around with. It's a little pricier, but actually, Rome's probably worth it, right? And the last couple of times I've been to Rome, we actually did go to St. Peter's. We got to see the Pope. And that's kind of interesting to go there. But anyway, if you want to be put on the list, because the details specifically for the finances won't be out until February 2020, just email me, mike@nocompromiseradio.com. If you've got the bad emails, the complaining emails, calling me a heretic, that would be info@nocompromiseradio.com or spencer@nocompromiseradio.com. But anyway, so February 2021, Israel with Omaha Bible Church, Bethlehem Bible Church, and No Compromise Radio. And we'll take you to the Holy Land. Actually, that's a very interesting concept. The Holy Land, is the land there holy? Here's what I love about Israel the most. I refrain from saying to people, it makes the Bible come alive. That would be the role of the Holy Spirit, my friend, to illuminate scriptures. And you can understand scriptures very, very well with the Holy Spirit's assistance and never stepping foot onto the soil there in Palestine, Israel, surrounding areas. But what is interesting when you go there, for me, this is the most important thing when I go to Israel. It reminds me of the historical validity of Christianity. This is not a teacher's thoughts that are just kind of out there. We believe in a real Messiah who really was a person. And when you think of the confessions, why would there be something in the early confessions suffered under Pontius Pilate? One of the reasons is because that's linking Jesus to real history. Therefore, when we go there, I like to be on the Sea of Galilee. I like to skip a rock on the Sea of Galilee. What do I like to do? Those kind of things, but I don't think I'm extra holy because I've gone, that I've been baptized in the Jordan, so I'm extra holy. Get some extra virgin olive oil to make myself more holy. holy water. I mean, we'll see a lot of those people, especially of the Orthodox faith and the Roman Catholic faith, with all these trinkets and places and things, tactily and sensually. But that's not why we're going. We're going to see the places. And when you're in, when you're north of Jerusalem, and the text says he went up to Jerusalem, you'll realize, oh, up means up, elevation wise. And you can kind of get the lay of the land and where Gethsemane was and the Mount of Olives and where Jesus would have to walk and Bethany and Bethphage and all that. So in that sense, it helps you understand the Bible. But I don't think it makes the Bible, I wouldn't say it. People say it all the time, but I wouldn't say it. It makes the Bible come alive. My favorite probably Israel story is when we were where David and Goliath generally were. And you can see the little stream there and stuff like that. Hupomone, there you go. As steadfast adherence to the course of action in spite of difficulties and testings. There we go. I knew it was hupo something. Thank you, Meg. I appreciate that. Let's see, what was I talking about? Oh, and you know, what does everybody want to do when you're in the Valley of Elah where David slew Goliath? He had a lot of Goliaths in his life that he had to slay. Well, you know, David picked up the five stones because that represents the five solas of the Reformation. Actually, I think five stones, why did he pick up five? Didn't he have enough faith to just pick up one? I mean, come on, David, seriously. Anyway, what does everybody want to do? They want to get a rock from that little stream, that little river valley, and put it in their pocket, right? Pick up one, maybe five. And seriously, the first time I was there, I think it was 1990, I hear this big truck pull up, and then you hear the backing sounds of the truck. And the backing sounds, beep, 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 beep. And then what happens? Dumping all these small rocks, perfect for the hand, handheld rocks, because all the tourists are taking them back to wherever they are. Holly family said, will the drawing for the free trip to be on Israel to be held at the end of this broadcast? I think that's somehow on Wretched Radio. I think Todd's doing that to help support No Compromise Radio. You might want to check with Todd. I think that we've helped his ministry so much to give him a larger platform. All right, we're in Hebrews chapter 11. So much for the long introduction. When people are preaching, I know this is radio, so we do this kind of thing. When people are preaching, I don't really like long introductions. Now, once in a while, okay, fine, long stories. Most young pastors aren't good storytellers anyway, and then they give this long story to make this point to get people to pay attention to the sermon, when I think you can just get there faster. And I look at 7 minutes into the show, and we haven't got to the text yet, but this is radio, friends, therefore I don't need to do that. But tomorrow, if you come to Bethlehem Bible Church, I'll give a shorter introduction. All right, one of the things that you can think about to understand any book of the Bible is context, but especially passages that maybe you love and that guys like me say, are you sure you know the meaning of Hebrews 11? Are you sure you know the meaning of John 3:16? Are you sure you know the meaning of whatever your favorite Bible verse is? Judge not lest you be judged, the world's life verse. Here's another case of that, Hebrews chapter 11, and here's how you need to understand this. All right, this is worth a show right here. When I was reading about this and came to these conclusions for myself, I had a charismatic moment. I think I started talking in Swahili for a moment. No, but seriously, this is worth your time right here, the three viewers, Meg, the Holly family, and probably Spencer. What's the context of Hebrews? These Jewish people, some are real believers, some are just adherents. They trusted in Jesus, they believed his claims, some with saving faith, some with demon faith. And then persecution starts, and they're thinking about going back. They're thinking about going backwards. While trials you can see, trials you can feel, trials touch you and affect you. What about the promises of God when they're found in the future, right? We're not theologians of glory. We're not Joe Osteen theologians. We're not prosperity, blab it and grab it. We're not, everybody's going to be, doing wonderfully now on earth. We realize the promises of God in heaven. And here's what's happening. They, and of course it can happen to us as well, are growing restless and they want to go back. But here's what happens. The writer of Hebrews gives a list of people who, by faith in the Messiah, endured. And there are all these Old Testament characters, from Abel to Noah, Enoch. I think it goes, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses. They were all looking for the Messiah. Now follow with me. They're looking for the Messiah to come. All these heroes of the faith, Jewish faith. Now the Messiah has come, and you Jewish people are trusting in him. Why would you go back? Why would you go all the way back to Judaism when the Jewish people that you revere and respect, they were looking for what you have, who's a man who's already come? This is fascinating. Here's what one of the writers says, McWilliams, in his great commentary, Reformed commentary. Chapter 11 is a challenge to remember what the original purpose of the Old Covenant was all about. You want to go back to the Old Covenant? Your fathers were looking by faith to what you now possess in the gospel. Why would you want to go back, since what you have now fulfills their expectations? That is great. That unlocks Hebrews chapter 11. The writer goes on, we should stress to people of God this element of fulfillment and of longing for consummation found here. Rather than bringing the congregation a lengthy series of biographical sketches, Hebrews 11, think of what the author is doing and translate that to the needs, to the needs of God's people today, who also are tried and sometimes tempted to go back. That's how you preach it. Therefore, he says, tell your people, let your heart cling to the promise and long for the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. People throughout redemptive history were pressing toward Christ by faith in the promise of God. They had nothing but the promise of God on which to rely. That unlocks Hebrews 11. And of course, for us, we know the Messiah has come too, and we're still longing for the promises to be all fulfilled, and we could walk by sight and not by faith any longer. But that's really the key to understand Hebrews 11. Don't go back. Everybody was looking forward to where you are now, so why would you want to go back and be in this constant loop around and around and around? Well, how do you figure out Hebrews 11? Number one, context. Remember, 10. 12, and then 11 is in the middle. Think of a sandwich. Endure, endure, endure. And then, secondly, in context as well, think about the flow of that redemptive book. Number two now, those are both context issues. Number two, recognize figures of speech. So context helps with the Hebrews 11. It helps with all the Bible. And so does figures of speech. I want you to recognize figures of speech. Now, lots of times you just come to Hebrews 11, it's the hall of faith, and let's have all these messages about how great these people are. I think if you understand figures of speech, it will prevent you from doing that very thing. Now, what is a figure of speech? Here's one definition that I found. A picturesque, out-of-the-ordinary way of presenting literal facts that might otherwise be stated in a normal, plain, ordinary way. Bullinger defines figure of speech this way. A figure is simply a word or a sentence thrown into a particular form different from its original or simplest meaning or use. And everywhere you go in the Bible, you'll find different figures of speech. Bullinger's book has 200 categories of figures of speech found in the Bible, 8,000 illustrations with a table of contents taking 28 pages for the 200 categories. Now, lots of times we'll use figures of speech, and then we understand, that seems more lively. That seems more vivid. You've caught my attention. It grabs my attention. I can understand that. If I said to you, get off your high horse, I found some examples online. you call your spouse sweetheart, honey. What if you say it's raining cats and dogs? What if you said Jesus is the Lamb of God? There are all kinds of figures of speech that we use in our world, and they used them in the Bible world as well. God is strong and trustworthy. Yes, that's true. How about if I used a figure of speech? God is a rock, a mighty fortress. So you can understand what happens when you read figures of speech, you go, oh yeah, that's right. When Paul says in Philippians, watch out for the dogs, I pay attention. I just did this thing like that, and it made me think of Patrick Abendroth. That's how he does it, except he has more hair than I do. What is going on with that? One of the things, too, when you have a figure of speech, it will help you remember, right? Vivid, interesting, makes you perk up, and it will also make you remember. Israel's called a stubborn heifer. What's the one in, matter of fact, this isn't in my notes, but it's in my mind because it is so memorable for two different reasons. Jeremiah, remember the one about the horses? You're like, wow, this is crazy. Let's see. I want to say it's Jeremiah 4:4. Meg would probably know, but I don't remember. No, this is interesting, though. 4:4 is circumcise yourselves to the Lord, remove the foreskin of your hearts. But that's not the one I want, lest my wrath go forth like fire and burn with none to quench it. I was thinking about one in Jeremiah, maybe it's chapter 6, something like well-fed lusty horses, each one neighing after his neighbor's wife. Ow. That's somewhere in Jeremiah, I would bet, if I was betting. Anyway, figures of speech are important. And there's one in Hebrews 11. Actually, all of Hebrews 11 falls underneath this category, and it's anaphora. Not anaphylactic, but anaphora. What's anaphora? A-N-A-P-H-O-R-A. Anaphora. Can we all say it together, class? Anaphora. Meg will probably look up anaphora and see what the definition is and then give it to us on No Compromise Radio. Anaphora means to carry back. And so Meg doesn't even have to type that in. It's a Greek word. And it means to go. There you go. Yeah. Holly Family just said, oh, yeah. Okay. Meg just gave me that. First Meg, then Holly Family. I should do this more often and my listeners can help me. Jeremiah 5:8, they were well-fed, lusty stallions, each neighing for his neighbor's wife. Golly. But we get the idea. And while you might forget the reference, you don't forget the idea. And the Holly Family just said, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. And of course, there, that makes me think, if you don't understand figures of speech and you read the Bible in a way without those, then it's going to make you a person that believes God has a body. You're going to run into all kinds of problems with anthropomorphic speech, anthropopathic speech, etc. Anyway, anaphora. Veritas said, sounds like a good Italian dessert. Tiramisu. Sometimes I've had tiramisu at different places, and there's so much alcohol in it. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know whether it was legal to eat it. If you don't drink alcohol, but you just eat it, is that okay? I'm thinking, golly. I'm thinking anaphora. Anaphora means to repeat a sequence of words for emphasis. Interesting. Repeating a sequence of words or words for emphasis. And what's the emphasis here? By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And this kind of list, it's meant to get you to remember it. It's meant to motivate you. It's meant for you to have it stick in your mind. This is like in Psalm 29, Anaphora, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. You hear that repetition. William Shakespeare, mad world, mad kings, mad composition. You thought that was Tears for Fears. It's a very mad world. But no, this is Shakespeare. How about William Blake? What the hammer, what the chain, in what furnace was thy brain? What the anvil, what dead grasp, dare its deadly terrors clasp? That's Anaphora. See, aren't you glad that you turned it to No Compromise Radio today to learn a new figure of speech, Anaphora? How about William Blake? In every cry of every man, in every infant's cry of fear, in every voice, in every barn, bane, ban. I've got a crack on my pad. There's that. You should be getting these right here. Self-addressed and envelope. Bethlehem Bible Church, 307 Lancaster Street, West Boylston, Mass. 01583. Attention, Spencer. Dickens, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epic of belief. And for us, Anaphora, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. It's dramatic. And by the way, it starts lulling you into this kind of just nice, Abel, Enoch, Noah. And by the end, it's crazy. Hardships, sawn in half. But you will remember. And that's one of the reasons why people love Hebrews chapter 11. This example list, this exempla, people could call it. And it's so encouraging. And you'll just begin to be caught up in this by faith, by faith, by faith. And then you're going to get these redemptive examples. And they're going to encourage you. And you're thinking, just like with biographies, over to my left, I have all my biographies. And I have biographies for two reasons. One, they convict me because I know that my life, I'd like to live a holy life, and many of these men and women live lives holier than I do, and I would like to honor the Lord with gratitude by a holy life. Then it also reminds me, though, that they're just like me, right? They're just Romans 7, they're Samuel Eustace et peccator, sinful, and still declared righteous, and it helps me remember that. These lists, this by faith list, is very, very encouraging. And as you read it, you'll go through and you go, oh yeah, they were wanting a homeland. They were looking for the future. They were walking by faith. And so that's one of the things you can do when you read the Bible and Hebrews 11, study different figures of speech. Number three, how can I understand Hebrews 11 but have a larger template for understanding the rest of the Bible as well? Context, figures of speech. Number three, read carefully. Here's how I would put it. Don't read too fast. Remember back the Saturday Night Live deal, the Evelyn Woodhead speed-ridden course? There's that King James-only preacher. And he's at Steadfast Church, or at least behind the pulpit in Wood, it says Steadfast, but it's spelled improperly. It's Deadfast, S-T-E-D or something like that. I'm like, okay. Oh. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to read Hebrews 11 carefully, and not trying to breeze through it, and you will quickly find out there are two words there that are close, but very different. One is faith, one is faithful. Now, here's how you typically read Hebrews 11. Look at all these faithful people. There's a lot of faithful people there. But did you know there's only one person talked about in Hebrews 11 who is faithful? Only one. Who would that be? Moses? Abraham? Sarah? Noah? No, it's God. Trick question, class. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. The first thing you've got to do when you read Hebrews chapter 11, besides looking at context and looking at the rest of these issues like figures of speech, is you have to think to yourself, there's a difference between faith and faithful. Because when I ask you, are you a person of faith, you probably will say yes. And when I say, tell me what that looks like, you're going to give me a definition of faithful. And so we're going to have to talk about that more next time on No Compromise Radio. I got 20 seconds before the radio section ends. Don't forget, you can go to nocompromiseradio.com and you can find the 2,500 shows there. Just pull them up. I'm redoing the Patreon site a little bit to make it a little bit easier. What else? No Compromise videos as well. We'll see the Facebook Live people in about 2 minutes.
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Abendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbcchurch.org or by phone at 508-835-3400.